This week on the Time Bat Show.
It's like it's what the astronauts eat. It's like, no, they just eat regular ice cream.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 125. I'm one of your hosts, Time Asus.
I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
And episode 125, Bats. It's kind of a milestone.
Yeah, it sort of is. It's been a while since we had one.
Right. We're not going to have another one for a while. It's fine. I feel like at some point you start not having milestones anymore, and you start not caring about the milestones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm kind of at that point.
Yeah, me too.
Like, it could be episode 200, I'd be like, great.
Just another day.
Just another Thursday. Doing the Time Bat Show, you know?
Yeah. Milestones are weird, because we used to... I mean, there was like a 10, there was a 33. Yeah. We probably had like a 25, a 66.
Yep.
All the way to 100.
Yeah. And then we hit 100, we're like, yeah! And now we're just like, whatever.
Now we're just like, well... I guess 1,000 is next.
Someone like found out that I had a podcast recently, and they're like, "What episode number are you on?" And I was like, "Oh, like 120." And they're like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah, like 120." It was like, "That's a lot of episodes." And I was like, "Yeah, I know, it's a lot of episodes. I do it every week." And they're like, "You've been doing it for like 3 years." I'm like, "Yes." They were like confused.
Yeah, so that person that asked you that, do you think when they hear that you're at 125, are they, like, more impressed or, like, concerned?
I think they're probably more concerned with at that point. Because, like, if they were impressed, I feel like I would have, like, if I was proud of it, I probably would have bragged about it to them earlier.
Yeah.
Since I hadn't said anything until they brought it up or found out about it, then they're probably, like, concerned, like, are you sure you're okay? Like,
why are you doing this?
Exactly. So, I don't know. It's kind of embarrassing. Here's the weird thing about our podcast, right? We're past the point where we can, like, brag about it and be like, hey, guys... Hey, new people that I don't know, or that maybe I do know, that I, you know, don't share super secret details of my life with. I've got this new podcast. It's called The Time Bat Show. You should check it out. We could have done that, like, episode 1 to 30, you know?
Yeah.
Now, it's super weird to do that, to, like, just bring it up, because they'd be like, oh, how far along is your podcast? We're like, oh, we're on episode 120. Like, oh, okay. How's it going? It's like, well, it's the same as it's always been, really. It's just we're further along now.
We haven't really changed anything, the format.
Right.
It's still just me and you.
The amount of listeners has remained largely unchanged for 100 episodes. But you know what? We have a record of every Thursday conversation we've ever had. So, I mean, that's nice, kind of.
Yeah, right? That is cool.
Right, and I hopefully it entertains some people. I know we have like a few really hardcore fans. Shout out to you guys that are listening probably right now. But anyway, what are we talking about today? I was waxing nostalgic about the early days. What are we talking about today, Beth? You've got like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, before we started today, we got on our Twitter as we usually do. It's at TimeBatsHow. You like how I did that? That was good.
I see what you did there,
and. Our Twitter layout on our podcast page has changed.
It has.
It hasn't changed on our normal pages.
Yeah, like my Twitter is the same as it's always been. But then I logged on to the Time Bat Show, and it was like redesigned Twitter. And it's really ugly. And I don't like it.
Yeah, it's significantly worse.
It's like a lot worse. And so I don't really understand why... My main account hasn't changed, but this one has, you know.
I think the reason is because they're testing a new layout.
They're doing like an A/B testing thing.
Yeah, and before they give it to everyone, they're going to give it to some people who don't really matter first.
Which is our page, because yes. It only has like 40 followers, and they're like, well, these people are meaningless.
Yeah. What's the worst that could happen?
I mean, what are they going to do? Leave Twitter? What? That's not going to really affect us at all. it's not going to affect our bottom line. Like, they can't give... Who's a famous Twitter person?
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga. They can't give Lady Gaga the new Twitter. Because she could be like, I hate Twitter, I'm quitting Twitter. That's a big blow for Twitter. But if the Time Pat Show left Twitter, Twitter would be like, great, bye.
It's better.
See you later. There's like nothing to lose for forcing us to do this. Which brings up an interesting topic. Which is, I feel like this like unspoken demographic of not matterables like is used a lot in like A/B testing.
Yeah.
In the country right now. In the world. You know?
Yeah, people who if they have a bad experience, doesn't really matter. Overall it's a net positive because you get to learn and not lose anything of value.
Mm-hmm. But they could do this with everything, right? It's like, these people, they don't matter. Like, nobody, they don't matter at all. So let's test it out on them and see where we go. I feel like they do this with, like, new technology, too. It's like if some new technology comes out and, like, no one buys it, but, like, a few people do, the company's like, oh, those people don't matter, so let's, you know, because they're early adopters and they're stupid. So let's just make something weird and... Maybe it doesn't work very well, and that's fine. You know, we'll make it better later.
A good example might be someone like Netflix. You know, someone whose subscription has been active for a month, and then they'll cancel, and then they'll activate it for another month to watch the new season of whatever's on Netflix.
Sure.
It's like, oh, let's test our new bandwidth algorithm.
On them. On those people.
If they lag a whole bunch, it doesn't really
they're gonna leave anyway.
Matter. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not fair.
It's not. You're right. You're absolutely right. Because Netflix is something you're paying for. Twitter, you're not paying for it. So at the end of the day,
you are.
What do you mean you are? No, you're not. How are you paying for Twitter?
How am I paying for Twitter?
Yeah.
Ads. They force things in your eyes.
That's true, I guess.
Yeah. If something is free, then you're the payment.
Do you know what I mean? That's a very dystopian view of things. If something's free, you're the payment.
That's what it is.
Your eyes are the payment. No, you're right. You're right. So, do you think that it's wrong for Twitter to do this?
For Twitter, no. But for me, yes. Do you know what I mean?
Like, here's the thing. I feel like a loser when I get the, like, oh, I got the don't matter A/B testing version because they don't consider me an important user enough to.
Yeah. You know. I mean, it makes me feel bad and kind of expendable, but is it good for Twitter? Yeah, probably is. Mm-hmm. Like, this probably works. It's good idea.
But it's bad for me and you that have it. Doesn't have to deal with it. It just makes me feel bad about myself.
Yeah.
You know.
There's been some rumors recently. Do you know multiplayer games, they use a lot of time a matchmaking service?
Yeah.
Like a game like Overwatch, for example. Yeah. If you do really good, you'll get paired with really good people.
Yeah.
If you're bad, you'll get paired with people more on your level.
Right.
I have this theory that games like this, there's a secret group of people that they have in a pool somewhere that are so bad that if you win too many games in a row, they give you people from this secret pool of, like, people that are just... The stuff they do just doesn't make sense. And they put them on your team because if there's someone with an 80% win rate, that breaks
their
matchmaking.
You gotta bring it down. Yeah, you gotta bring it down.
Everybody has the most amount of fun if everyone's win rate is the closest to 50%.
Right. So you got to throw in the super losers on your team sometimes.
And I think this is true because I play Dota sometimes. And I swear, if I win like 8 games in a row, you enter like the Twilight Zone, dude. Like, you get people on your team that are like, what are you doing?
Like, have you ever played this game before? Yeah.
God, or maybe they have and they just have no idea what they're doing. They just like play, it's like a grandmother and they're like, this is fun, and like they don't know what's happening, they just play because it's cool looking or whatever, you know.
Yeah, the point is though is that they're clearly spectacularly bad, yet they're in my pool somehow.
And how are they in your pool? Yeah, they're drawn. So you think Blizzard has like a super losers pool that I think they draw from. Now, here's another question. Do you think the super losers play against each other sometimes?
Like, yeah, I think most of the time they do.
Oh, so like if I was a super loser and I'm playing, like it's going to try to match me up with all the super losers so I can feel like I'm doing something in the game.
Right.
Right. But then when, you know, you win 8 in a row, maybe the matchmaker will be like, all right, let's get the best super loser and put him in your game.
They got to slow you down.
Man, you know, that's probably true. And there's not really any way of knowing that you're a super loser. But how, like, terrible would it be to find out that you were? You know?
Yeah, because the ideal thing is, you know, even the super losers, they're going to win 50% of their games so that they feel like they're doing good. And they're going to be...
And the only way to do that is to put the match up with other super losers.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a conspiracy theory, but I think it might be true.
I think it's true, man. I think it happens in life, too. I think if you do too well in life, man, somebody's going to put you with one of these people.
Now, here's the depressing thing. Like, am I a super loser in life right now? Like, yeah. I don't know. It could be.
Like, you know that day at work where you get invited to the super important meeting and everyone's like, so what do you think, Batsnacks?
And you're like, why am I in this meeting? And they're like, we value your opinion. And really, it's because they needed one super loser in the group to balance it out.
Yeah, to knock everyone down a couple notches.
Or to make everyone feel like they're really smart, you know?
Yeah.
Because I find humans, like, really enjoy realizing that they're better than other people and like thinking like, oh man, I'm really smart right now. Look at this guy, doesn't know what he's doing. Like, I'm really smart. Humans enjoy that. So like putting a super loser in a group where there's like a bunch of people that aren't like super smart, but they're like kind of smart, probably encourages them to like be even smarter. Cause they're like, oh yeah, look at me. I'm like really intelligent.
You know? It's team building.
Team building. So, I mean, I could be a super loser in life and I wouldn't even know, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, I mean, so could I.
Do you think I'm a super loser?
I don't think you are. I think I might be.
I don't think you're a super loser. I think you're a regular person. I think you're a middle-of-the-road kind of guy, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think you're a super loser.
I don't know.
I think you would know. Maybe you wouldn't. That's the tough thing about this situation is like, I want to say that if I was a super loser, I would know it. But you wouldn't, because the whole point of the super loser group is that they don't know that they're super losers.
Yeah.
You know, like once they know, it's a wash. Like you can't use them anymore.
Yeah, they're spoiled.
they're rotten.
They're rotten. You gotta throw them out.
Yeah, you know. I don't know.
It makes you think. It's like depressing as hell, but I think it's hilarious in the context of like Overwatch.
I think it's funnier in the context of real life because I think it might be a thing in real life too.
Yeah.
I am completely very anxious about this now. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
I feel like I'm a super loser in the super losers group. Ugh. You know what is a super loser 100%? Our podcast.
But we don't get added to big things ever. Like
that's true. Oh, yeah. You're right. Okay. So if we were like a super loser podcast, we would have some like sympathy traction.
Yeah.
You know, like we would do well we would do okay because of sympathy or because of like, oh, we got to have a really shitty podcast in this batch to
even them out. Yeah, the purpose of the super loser group is they're so spectacularly bad that they get attention from people that are really good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you can leverage them.
See, I think that's my like mistake in life is I'm always like trying to be in the middle, right? Or really good, but I never succeed at being really good, so I inevitably just fall to the middle, right? So like you got like three tiers. You got four tiers. You got the super loser tier, you got the bad tier, you got the mediocre tier, and you got like the great tier, right? Yeah. I'm always like trying for great and I don't succeed, so I'm like end up in the mediocre, right? And then there are people that are bad and they know they're bad. And then there are people that are super losers and they don't know they're super losers. But the people that are super losers get attention because they're so terrible.
Yeah.
And I mean, never one of the extremes, but I feel like I'd be better if I was a super loser.
The point is like if you're enough of an outlier, then people can use you for some purpose.
Yeah. And granted, that's kind of taking advantage of you, but at the end of the day, does it really matter? Like, because you're getting
at the top or the bottom.
You're getting something out of it, right? At the end of the day. Maybe we should seek to just do as bad as we can on this show, and then we'll get some, like, sympathy attention. You know? Like, make a whole episode where it's just a series of annoying beeps. You know? And we just, like, talk about, like, we just yell out, like, characters from fiction that we really like, you know?
No, here's what we should do. Mm. We take every question on Reddit that's, if you woke up in a video game world.
We take all the really bad video game questions. Yeah.
And we do those.
We just copy a video game podcast that is popular and just do it in, like, the worst possible way. You know,
that sounds funny.
No, because here's the thing. Like, everyone's got a video game podcast. And a lot of them are really bad, and a lot of them are, like, pretty good. Now, if we did, like, almost a satire of the good ones to, like, be purposefully, like, the worst ever, then maybe we'll get attention because of how bad it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds kind of funny, too.
We should do an episode where we're mocking video game podcasts, because I would like to do that, I think.
Yeah, let's do it. I'll do it.
Because, like, they're so dumb. Like, even the good ones. You know, and no offense if you're part of a video game podcast listener, but they're really dumb.
I've never listened to one.
I've listened to a few. It's mostly the same thing over and over. It's like, so what did you think of that video game? It's like, well, I liked it, but I had some issues, and here the issues are. And it's like, okay, is this actually about anything, or are we just talking about this video game over and over again? It's like, yes, it's about that. And then they get really excited about, like, it's less about, like, playing games and more about getting excited for upcoming games that inevitably will disappoint them when they come out. You know what I mean?
Speaking of...
Speaking of disappointment.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm about to go to?
I think I know exactly where you're going to go. Well, go ahead.
Should we do a trivia question, or can we get right to the...
We can do a trivia question. We can do it. This one's fun, and it's short, so we'll do that first. And then we can go directly into the topic I know you've been itching to talk about for the entire episode so far. So you have three trivia questions today. One of them is a true or false, so it's your first one. So I'm not going to allow you to choose 50-50 or Monty Hall for this one. But you can choose any of the other ones.
Okay.
But the topic is science.
I'll do a, maybe a 30-second Yahoo.
Okay, 30-second Yahoo it is. Okay. All right. True or false? Water makes a different pouring sound depending on its temperature.
Oh, no.
Like the whoosh, like...
I know what you mean, yeah. True or false? Okay, I'm trying to think of... I make coffee a lot.
Actually, you know what? You can't use Yahoo for this. This is true or false.
We just have to do
you
it.
You just have to go for it, because... Okay. Yeah. You gotta just do it.
Okay, I'm imagining making coffee and pouring it into my cup.
Sure.
And I think it goes, like... And then, like, if I'm pouring orange juice, but that's not water.
That's not water.
Do you ever pour cold water in your cup?
I don't think I do.
What do you mean you don't pour cold water in your cup? Never?
No, I buy gallon water from the store. But
don't you pour that into something?
Yes, but it's warm when I do it, and I pour it on ice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that would be different sound, though, right? Because warm, like lukewarm water would be different from hot water, which would be different from cold water, if they're all making different sounds. You know
That's
what I mean?
True.
So think back to, like... Maybe your orange juice train of thought was working out. What kind of noise does that make?
Well, maybe if I imagine the non-pulp, it'll be closer to water.
There you go.
The problem is, I usually buy pulp.
Now you're thinking, why do you buy pulp orange juice? You're like because the only person in the world that drinks pulp orange juice.
I like the extra the stuff in it.
You like the pulp?
Yeah.
Explain to me why you like the pulp in like two or less sentences.
Because it gets in your mouth and feels good, I don't know. You don't buy pulp orange juice?
No, why would I buy pulp orange juice? It's just in the way. It doesn't make it taste any better.
But it adds texture.
In a drink? Why do you want texture in your drink?
I don't know. I just like it. I thought everybody bought the pulp.
No one gets pulp anymore.
I thought non-pulp was for people with weird like allergies or something.
No. I mean, I'll do like low pulp. Like, if I had the option between low pulp and high pulp, I'll get low pulp. But
you go all pulp. Yeah.
Like, if you're in a restaurant and you're like, you're eating breakfast and you're like, can I get some orange juice? And they're like, would you like no pulp, some pulp, or all the pulp? You would do all the pulp?
I'd be like, extra pulp.
Can you squeeze another orange and remove the juice and just add that pulp to my orange juice, please?
Yeah. I like when you're finished to have, like, the whole glass have pulp all around the sides.
You don't eat the pulp after that, do you?
No, that's gross. But
oh, but drinking it is fine, obviously.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to the question. Do different liquids at different temperatures, well, water specifically, make a different sound when they're a different temperature when you pour them?
I think they do. I'm going to say yes.
Go ahead.
I'll give my reasoning.
Yes, please.
So maybe hot liquids cause a different vibration in the glass or something.
Sure. Right. Okay. And cold liquids, maybe they don't.
Right.
Okay. That's your final answer?
Yeah. I'm going to be sad if that's wrong.
No, that is true. You're correct. That is absolutely right.
Oh, yeah.
The reasoning was, and I read some of this, was what you said, but also the viscosity slightly changes at varying temperatures, so you're going to get different amount of force being, like, hit against the cup or whatever, you know? So that's going to make different sounds. So there you go.
So if that's true, that means that non-pulp orange juice and pulp orange juice make different sounds, too.
That would, yes, logically that would follow. You know what I think you should do now?
What?
An experiment where you record the pulp sound and the non-pulp orange juice and see what they sound like. This sounds like the worst science fair project like in history.
Like, this sounds cool.
You know, as like a kid, like when you had to do the science, did you do the science fair as a kid?
I wanted to, but then I got lazy.
Okay, yeah. So I went to a lot of schools, but I was required to do it at some point as a kid. I don't remember what grade it was, but you had to do the science fair, and like every kid had to do it, and I didn't know what to do, but like this was like my first thought. This is like in sixth grade, once someone like asked me to do the science fair. This is cynical me already like coming out. I was like, but all the science has been done already. Like, why do I need to do a science experiment?
That's hilarious, dude.
Because it's true. I mean, what's the point of doing an experiment when you're in sixth grade? Because most of all the things in science have already been experimented on, you know? So, yeah. Anyway, that's
by people with doctorates, too. Right? I mean, that's so very like realistic of you.
As like a 12-year-old kid, you're like, what the hell is the point of me doing this? This is not going to do anything. So, anyway, inevitably, all these kids choose, like, stupid things to do the science fair project on. Mine was... this is so stupid. mine was something to do with insulation. Do you know, like, you can insulate things?
Yeah, in your attic.
Yeah, no, you can insulate things to make them colder, like retain heat or cold or whatever. Okay. So I did that with I like tried to figure out what the best insulator was out of all the things. Which it's
kind
not,
of an interesting experiment.
Sure, but it's already known. Like the world already knows what the best insulator is. So it really wasn't much of a. But anyway, that's what I did. But this orange juice thing with the liquids. This sounds like a, like if I had happened upon this topic in sixth grade, I would have done this as a science experiment.
You know, I think it sounds kind of cool as a science fair project. Like, you could call it like, oh, do you hear the bird? He's back.
I heard the bird, yeah.
Yeah, you could call it like liquid acoustics. Use some like fancy words.
That sounds cool. So here's what you do. You do a bunch of different kinds of liquids, like you do water. And then you do them all at differing temperatures, too.
Yeah.
So you got, like, water, hot, cold, lukewarm, milk, hot, cold, lukewarm, orange juice, no pulp, hot, cold, lukewarm, and orange juice with a lot of pulp, hot, cold, lukewarm. So you're, like, boiling your orange juice to, like, pour it in a cup. And you get, like, hopefully your uncle is, like, an audio engineer of some kind, and he has, like, really high-tech recording equipment that you can, like, get right up there, you know, to the glass with.
Yeah. And when you're done, your uncle can make, like, a techno song with all the songs you recorded.
With all the
bloop, bloop, bloop.
With all the different sounds. And you can call it Liquid. What was the name of the project?
Liquid Acoustics.
That's such a good album name right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea. Also,
sounds like an NPR like transition song.
It does. Like you're listening to NPR. We're gonna go to a break right now, but to get you to the break, listen to the sweet sounds of Liquid Acoustics. That's like, anyway. Back on to what we were about to talk about before the trivia, the big topic that I know you really want to talk about.
So there was a trailer released this week for Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie.
The movie, which is exciting and also not exciting at the same time. What are your thoughts on this? We haven't really talked about this that much.
It's very difficult for me to be optimistic and excited about this movie.
First of all, you're a pretty big Sonic fan.
I love Sonic, yeah.
You love Sonic. You go way back. So what was your first, like, seeing the trailer, what was your first, like, what was going through your head as you were watching?
Okay, so music choice, Gangsta's Paradise.
Yeah, that was an interesting choice, don't you think?
Won a Grammy, I think, in 1995.
Really? That song won a Grammy?
Yeah, I think it did.
I didn't know that. But anyway, so won a Grammy winning song by Coolio. That really sets the tone of the movie, I feel like, you know?
Yeah, it's just... All right, so the music choice, I liked it. I liked that song. Mm-hmm. But Sonic, even the bad games have good music, usually.
Sure. Like,
Sonic has some really good music in it. Why couldn't they just get
do, like, a remix of that?
Sonic song.
Yeah, like Green Hill Zone or something. You know?
Yeah, I was thinking the main theme of Sonic Adventure was rolling around at the speed of sound. Mm-hmm. Use that song.
Yeah. Or one of the terrible, like, rock songs that Sonic did. Remember
those?
Yeah,
that's one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there were plenty of those. Use one of those. So you're not super fond of the song choice. That's the one demerit.
I like the song. I don't know.
Just for Sonic, it doesn't fit, you don't think?
If the whole soundtrack... I think the soundtrack is going to be really important to how much Sonic I enjoy movie. It.
Sure.
Yeah. So, if it can be, like, a combination of 90s rap and 90s, like, alternative rock, I think that'll be a great soundtrack.
So, like, Creed is in there? Like,
yeah. Nickelback.
Soundgarden.
Yeah.
Creed sounds like Sonic's favorite band. Like, if I had to, like, think of a band that Sonic liked the most, I would think it would be Creed.
Yeah. Creed is, they're, because they're, like, good guys. Yeah. Shadow the Hedgehog, he right. likes Nickelback. Because they're kind of like, ooh.
Yes, so that would be the soundtrack to Sonic, which I'm completely on board with. Now, how do you find the characters, you know, in the Sonic, in the new Sonic movie from the trailer?
I don't like the way Sonic looks in it.
Mm-hmm. He's a little long.
He's long. He's furry. He's weird looking. And, yeah, I don't think he looks good, but I'm really excited about Jim Carrey being Dr. Robotnik. Mm-hmm. I think that's a perfect fit.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't really look like Dr. Robotnik that much, seeing as Dr. Robotnik is shaped like an egg. But, but Jim Carrey, I feel like he could, if anyone could embody Ivan Robotnik or whatever the hell his name is, it's Jim Carrey, you know? 100%. In my opinion, the movie will be make or break down to if Jim Carrey really carries the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He hasn't been in a good movie in a long time.
He really hasn't. What do you think went through his head when he was, like, being cast in this movie? Like, you know what I mean? Like, do you think he was like, oh, sign me up, I want to do this? Or it's like, well, I gotta pay some bills, so let's do this. You know what I mean?
Who knows what goes through Jim Carrey's head anymore?
Do you think he wanted to be Robotnik, though, is my question. Or he was just like, yeah, let's do it. You know what I mean?
I have no idea. I know he's mostly like a political cartoonist these days or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So who knows?
Yeah, who knows what,
but, what he I wanted mean, to do. I'm going to see the Sonic movie just for Jim Carrey. 100%. As far as Sonic goes, like, it doesn't look that... I don't know. The character of Sonic doesn't look that exciting. It's got, like, a weird buddy cop thing going on. It's set in, like, San Francisco, which is a weird... I don't know. It seems like... I wish they went more Super Mario Brothers with it, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, the movie?
Yeah, more like, fantasy.
Yeah, like, Super Mario Brothers, the movie, as you know, because you've seen it a bunch of times. You've probably seen it more times than I have. It starts in, like, New York. Real New York. But then they find the underground thing to, like, the Bowser's Dinosaur Land or whatever, right?
Right.
And then the rest of the movie is in the fantasy world, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I feel like Sonic could really... That might have been a good way to do Sonic, you know? Like, started in the real world, he stumbles into the real world, and then they stumble their way into the Sonic/Robotnik world, you know?
Yeah, there are a lot of settings in the Sonic the Hedgehog games that don't really work in San Francisco, like Casino Land.
Like all of them, really?
Like all of them, basically.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how they explain that. But there is one shot. Oh, were you going to say something?
I was going to say that there's one thing about the movie that bothers me more than anything else.
What's that?
Like, I could be very excited for this if it weren't for... another movie that's coming out at the exact same time that it looks kind of like they're ripping off of.
Which is what?
Which is Detective Pikachu.
Well, those aren't coming out at the same time. But yes, it does look like they're ripping off that. Because Detective Pikachu is like, oh, we're doing the Pokemon movie. And Sonic's like, I'm going to do a half-assed version of a video game movie, and it's going to be Sonic. And Sonic has Jim Carrey going for them, I guess. But Detective Pikachu has, I don't know, a better-looking movie going for it. So there's that, I guess.
When is Detective Pikachu out?
I think it's next month.
Okay, and Sonic is later this year?
Later this year, yeah. So they're not really head-to-head competing. But I see what you mean. They're, like, they're kind of trying to draw the same audience. And I think Detective Pikachu is probably going to do a better job at it, if that makes sense.
And Sonic already kind of looked good in 3D. I think maybe someone made a 3D version of him that looked like he actually does in the games and was like, no, give me more Detective Pikachu.
Oh, interesting.
And...
like furrier.
Yeah, and if you look in the trailers, even the trailers are really similar. Like, in Detective Pikachu, Pikachu is in, like, a abandoned building somewhere. Guy walks in, and they're suddenly, like, buddies, and they drive in a car. The exact same thing happens in the Sonic trailer.
It's like they watched the Detective Pikachu trailer, like, shot for shot, do that for the Sonic.
That's what kind of bums me out. I hope they're just not trying to rip off this
Pikachu movie. And they're trying to make money from the video game fans that would go to the movie. Are you going to see both of these movies?
I'll probably just see the Sonic movie.
You're just going to see the worst one out of the two, basically.
Yes.
That's what you're telling me.
And I'm going to pretend it's the best one.
I'm going to see both of them, and I'll probably be like, yeah, Detective Pikachu is better. You'll be like, no, Sonic was way better because it was Sonic. I mean, Jim Carrey might do a really amazing job, and it might be worth going to the movie for that. It might be like, you know, in the Street Fighter movie, you got, like, Bison, and he's, like, the reason to watch that movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It could be that kind of situation, where, like, Sonic, the movie's terrible, but Jim Carrey is great as Robotnik, maybe. You know?
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. So many video game movies. We'll see what happens. I feel like every 5 years or so, they try to make a video game movie, and everyone's like, this is the one, this is the one good one. You know, this will be, like, the first good video game movie, because none of them have been really good, you know?
Yeah.
And we're just repeating that cycle now. Like, it's time for a couple video game movies to try to be good again, and we'll see. I don't know how I feel about it.
We'll see.
We'll see. I'll see Detective Pikachu, and I will review it on the show. So what else is going on? You had a big list of things.
Avengers came out.
It did.
Recently.
I saw it last Saturday or Friday.
I did not. What did you think of it?
It was good. I liked it. I didn't like it as much as the last one, but I did like it a lot. My worry with this movie is, since you haven't seen any of them, I have no idea, like, if you would even know what was going on in the movie. You know what I mean?
I was able to guess 5 of the superheroes in the movie.
It took you, like, 10 minutes, though. Yes, on the last episode, you guessed 5 of, like, the 20 superheroes in the movie, and it took you, like, 10 minutes to do so.
But so, I did get them.
You did. So do you think you would know what's going on in this movie?
More or less. Like,
really?
Based on what I've heard here and there, uh-huh, and kind of general knowledge of comics, I think
now,
I could.
Now, I you're probably not going to do this, but I would love it if you could see this movie at some point, without having seen any of the other movies, and then tell me what you thought happened in the movie.
I should do that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, here's the thing. I've seen most of the movies, so, like, when there's, like, a plot point in this movie that was, like, a callback to a previous movie, or, like, you had to have seen the previous movie, my brain just instantly was like, oh, yeah, I know what's going on. But, like, thinking back, like, if I hadn't seen the movie that they're referencing, I would have no idea what that scene would be about. You know, like I'd be like, what's going on in this scene? Like, I don't understand what's happening here. You know, and I'm wondering, as a person who hasn't seen the movies, when you see a scene like that, would your brain be like, what the hell is this? Or would your brain be like, well, this is a non-essential thing that was probably in a previous movie, and I'll just move on. You know what I mean? Like, I want to know if you would get, like, bogged down in the details of, like, I don't know what these little things mean. Or you'd just be able to be like, oh, whatever, that's probably something that was in a previous movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this movie is kind of like, I think back in the 80s, they had this big comic called, like, Crisis on Infinite Earths or something.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of superheroes died, and they stopped making comics after that, and they entered a new era after that. I think this movie is kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about that comic was you had to read, like, every comic in the world in order to know what was happening.
That sounds like a big ask, right? Like, I don't have time to do that. But that's kind of what Avengers Endgame is like. You kind of had to see all the movies, not to know exactly what's going on, but to know all the things. Like, to get all out of it, you would have to see all the movies, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think it would be a worse movie if you just watched it without seeing any of the others?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Definitely.
How much worse?
I wouldn't hate it or anything. I'd be like, it wouldn't go from a great movie, it wouldn't go from, like, good to bad or anything, but I probably wouldn't I wouldn't like it as much. Like, I liked it, I'd give it, like, a 3.5 out of 5, right now.
Okay.
And if I hadn't seen any of the movies, I probably would give it like a 2.5, maybe a 3. You know, it would be very average. It wouldn't be bad, but it would be very average. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. It seems like a lot of the fun of the movie then is kind of just kind of reminiscing about, oh, remember when we did that?
Yeah, that was cool. I don't want to spoil the movie, but there's like a large chunk in the movie in the middle that it's cool, but it's basically just like a greatest hits. Like they're they're doing like a bunch of callbacks from the previous movies, and the fans, it's like fan service, right? Oh, basically. And you're like, oh, I remember this part of the other movie. Like, oh, they're doing a part, they're doing a version of that. That's so cool. Like, and it's fun knowing like how those movies go. But to someone that hasn't seen any of them, you're just like, I don't like. This is fine, I guess. You know, like it's probably not doing anything for you. You know, so like, yeah, there are a lot of those like small moments that are like better when having seen a previous movie. And if you hadn't seen it, the moment probably doesn't really do anything for you, and it just seems kind of like a weird waste, which there's a lot of those in the movie. And they're fun when you've seen the previous ones, but if you didn't, like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing that's in more movies today than there ever has been, is little callbacks to the previous movies. Because, you know, a lot of movies these days, they make a lot of sequels.
They do, yeah.
And in sequels, part of the fun is, oh, remember when that happened? Remember that when was this happened, funny. That happened? Yeah.
It's weird, though, because, like, we've always had sequels in movies, like, ever since movies have been a thing. But it seems like they've become more reliant on the sequels in the past to be like, you have to watch the previous ones in order to understand the sequel, like, in the last, like, 20 years. Like, let me think. So, in the past, we've had sequels to movies. I'm going to take random franchises. Star Wars, you probably need to see all the movies to understand what's going on in Return of the Jedi. But even if you don't, like, I mean, there's only so many characters in Star Wars, so it's not that complicated. Indiana Jones, you don't really need to see any of those in any order. Like, it could be, we could just pick one out of the three and it'd be fine.
Yeah. Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park, same way. Like, just, you could. I mean, the setup is kind of reliant on the previous movies, but, like, it doesn't... Like, once you get through that, like, the first 5 minutes of the setup, it's like, it doesn't matter anymore. Yeah, like, everything I can think of. All the Rocky movies kind of in the same way.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they kind of call back to the other ones, but, like, at the end of the day, Rocky's fighting a different guy. Like, it's just a fight movie, you know?
Yeah. They don't... They're not, like, back in the gym, and he's like, remember when you...
Remember 3 weeks ago when you fought this one guy? Yeah.
You gave him the bing bang bow.
the bing bang bow. Yeah, they're all self-contained. But it seems like sequels these days, like, they're not self-contained anymore because of the Marvel thing. And I saw someone comparing it to more of like a TV show, right? It's like it's like a really long TV show. And you see each movie is like an episode of the TV show. And once you see the last one, that's like the series finale, you know what I mean? And the Marvel movies feel more like that to me than they do movies, if that makes sense.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, but it's weird. Can we do a trivia really quick, and then we can get back into this topic? Because this is an interesting topic and I want to talk about more.
For sure, yeah.
Okay, cool. This is actually kind of good. So, segue, your next trivia question, the category is space, which is pertinent because that plays a big role in the last two Avengers movies. What lifeline would you like?
I will use 50-50 for space.
Okay. According to former astronauts, what does space smell like?
Okay. They can't smell it. They're well, in suit.
They smelled it, and this is what they said it smells like. Is it A, melted butter, B, a seared steak, C, asparagus, or D, garlic aioli?
I want to say I hope it's not asparagus. because I like the smell of asparagus, but
not like
I don't want to smell it all the time.
The problem with space smelling like asparagus is that like it the smell is like everywhere. Like that's yeah. all of space is just asparagus smell.
That's too much asparagus.
I agree. Yeah, that would be too much. Like, I would walk into space and be like, there's too much asparagus out here. And anywhere you go, it's just more and more asparagus. Like, you can't escape the smell of asparagus.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I love Star Trek. I've always dreamed about, you know, flying around in space, having a great time. If the answer to this question is asparagus, I'm going to be defeated. I'm going to have a bad day. I'm going to go to sleep, have nightmares about asparagus
you're gonna
space.
You're going to rethink wanting to go to space. Like, well, if it smells like asparagus, I can't do this. So you don't think it's asparagus for that, because that would be too mean. The universe would be too cruel for that to be the case.
I don't know. The universe is pretty cruel sometimes.
It is. So. It's very cruel. It is very cruel. So your options are melted butter, seared steak, asparagus, or garlic aioli.
Let's 50-50.
Yeah. You think I'm gonna put garlic aioli in the 50?
No, I don't think you are.
That was my fun one. Okay, it's either seared steak or asparagus.
Oh no! I was hoping it would be butter. That was like the only one I was okay with.
If space smelled like butter,
yeah.
It's just like it smells like an old like movie theater, like yeah. Stalled the butter everywhere.
That sounds kind of good. Like steak, I get tired of that smell too. Uh-huh.
But butter, no. It just smells like melted butter, like the bad stuff. You know what I mean? Like the like fake popcorn butter. You know yeah. what I mean? Like that. It smells like that.
You know when you go to the movie theater and they ask if you want butter and you can say yes, but they mm-hmm. they also have that separate shaker of something that's on the counter?
Yes.
That's do like you put that on your
that's
popcorn?
That's like butter, right?
But it's powder.
No, I don't put that on my popcorn, do you?
No. It's kind of like if you just like to. Threw that everywhere.
That's what space smells like. The yeah. fake butter powder. I used to put that on my popcorn. There was this one movie theater that that I lived near when I was in college in like Melbourne, Florida. Yeah. And they were like your classic Cineplex, but they had this thing where you got your popcorn and they could put butter on it when you got it. Or you could do butter on the popcorn, and then you could go to the popcorn flavor aisle. They had, like, a whole wall of shaker popcorn flavorings. And they were all, like, butter adjacent, right? Yeah. And when I was, like, 19, and I would, like, just go crazy with all these. Like, I would get not all of them, but, like, five of them on my popcorn. And sometimes you could, like, choose very incorrectly, like, just, like, have a bad day with your popcorn. Because, like, some of the some of the flavorings did not work well together. Like, they yeah. would have butter, and then they would have, like, spicy, and then they'd have, like, cinnamon, you know, or, like, okay. chocolate. Yeah. Or, like,
so you could do, like, ranch cinnamon?
Yeah. Yes, I think I did ranch cinnamon once.
Gross.
With butter, like, and it was, like, not good. Anyway, I digress. But, yeah, like, that's what I'm reminded of when you say the shaker butter. But so it's not melted butter, unfortunately. Space does not smell like an old movie theater.
I think I know which one I'm going to go with. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm going to go with steak, and my logic is because maybe when they were in space welding or whatever, they burned a lot of stuff, and that made it smell like burning, and that's kind of similar to searing a steak.
Sure. Or let me throw a different possibility at you.
Okay.
When they were in space, their suits have like urine compartments for them to go to the bathroom out there.
Right.
And they peed, and they ate asparagus before going out, and that's the smell that they smelled in space.
Can you imagine, like, the space food asparagus
oh, God.
Tube?
I don't even like asparagus to begin with. That would just be even worse. Oh, yeah. Space asparagus would be so gross. It would be in like a toothpaste tube.
Yeah.
And like you could squeeze it out so it like looks like asparagus. Like you could make a design to make it look like a root of asparagus. And then you're like, it's good. Oh, God. Would you eat space food?
I think I have. I ate that space ice cream stuff.
Well, everyone ate that. It was very big in the 90s. Is that still a thing?
I don't even think it made it on a space station, to be honest.
That was just a marketing thing.
Yeah. It's like it's what the astronauts eat. It's like, no, they just eat regular ice cream.
Yeah, like, why do you even need space ice cream? Can't they just eat normal ice cream? Like, I never understood that. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, they can freeze things in space. Like, that's the point of, like, all their fruit is freeze-dried, right?
Yeah.
So you would think ice cream would work because it's already cold. So, like, why do they need these weird, like, pellet things as ice cream? It doesn't make any sense.
I have a feeling that was just marketing back in the 90s.
Probably. Because they looked very futuristic, and they're like, oh, it's space ice cream. What did they call it? It was like Dippin' Dots, right? That's what it was, right?
That's different. That's the little dots. The pellet-shaped ice cream.
I feel like those were marketed as space ice cream, too, though.
Maybe. But there was a different thing.
No, I know what you're talking about, because it was like a freeze-dried package thing. It was weird.
Yeah.
I feel like there was this time in like the late 90s where a lot of things were marketed as, this is what the astronauts eat. And you're like, ooh. Like Tang, you remember that?
Yeah, there was Tang. Do you remember ballpoint pens? There used to be ones that were used by astronauts. Yes. I don't think they actually were, but I bought them.
I don't think they were either. Yeah. I think they just used pencils up in space because it makes a lot more sense. But, you know, what are you going to do? So steak or asparagus?
Yeah, I am going to go with steak.
Final answer. Steak is correct. Good job. Yes. You did it. It's not asparagus. Your dream of going to space is not ruined.
Okay.
Hooray. So back onto the Avengers thing.
Okay. Because
we were talking about the content thing. And there was an interesting article you shared with me. Well, you didn't share it, but you posted the title. I don't remember what it was, but it was like content versus movies or something like that, right?
Yeah, I read the first sentence of this article and then closed it because it was just way too pretentious sounding. But then I thought about it and I was like, oh, that kind of makes sense.
What was the
name? Anyway, the first line was, Avengers Endgame, a decisive win for content over cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just feel gross saying that.
Sounds extremely pretentious. But if you think about it, it's kind of, I can see where they're going. And they're going of where I was saying is like, it's kind of more about the amass of things altogether than a single piece of movie. You know what I mean? Like, you're not watching this new Avengers movie as a single movie. It's not just a movie. It's an entire piece of a larger content stream. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think as a person, this is just my opinion. Like, when I read a book, when I read books or play video games or watch TV shows or watch movies, I much more enjoy, like, singular experiences where it's just like, here's the story, it's over, move on to something else. And they still have movies like that, but the comic book movies have gone away from that, and they're the ones making all the money. So I think the fear of the article is that classic movies storytelling, it's not going to die, because I don't think that's... I think that's a little too extreme. Yeah. But I think what they're afraid of is that's going to kind of go by the wayside to make room for this more television episode style of movie making, where it's like every movie is just one really long television episode, basically. And there's like 20 of them, and they have like a very long plot that ends with the last movie.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think stuff like that is fun. I mean, that's why TV shows are successful.
I agree.
And I think another aspect of the fun of that kind of format is when there's like 20 movies all in a row and they're all in the same universe, it gives you more time to talk about the movies with other people.
Yeah.
You also get to, like, share that excitement with other people more than just a one-off movie. Because one-off movies, they're usually not very popular right away.
That's true. It gives it more, like, kind of a length. Like, it elongates the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it makes them relevant, too. So, like Avengers now is coming out. But, like, it's making every movie that's preceded it relevant again because people are watching those in the lead-up. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Which is a clever way to do business, if you think about it.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a very good way to make money and tell stories. Yeah.
Anyway, but it's good. I mean, I would want you to watch it just to see if you know what's going on, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When it comes to DVD,
you're going to get it on DVD.
I will, quote, rent it, quote, and
sure, you're going to get it specifically on DVD, not Blu-ray.
No.
You're going to do the DVD version, low quality.
Filmed. Do you like how I said DVD?
Yes, I do.
You can tell I haven't bought a movie in like 20 years.
We're still in like 1999 and you're talking about DVDs. Yeah, you can tell you haven't bought a movie in a long time. But yeah, you'll get it and you'll rent it and you'll tell me what you think, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Do we have any Reddit today? Or do we have any other topics? I don't even know. I'm not the arbiter of topics this week.
I had a sci-fi idea that I texted you recently that...
Yeah.
All right, so my idea that I texted you earlier in the week was that... So there's a group of, let's just say, weather scientists in this version, because I like that better.
Yeah.
And they get approached by these government officials. And since they're weather scientists, they have really advanced radars.
Yeah.
And the government officials want to run a drill at their weather station, where they try to detect really advanced aircraft that are flying in the sky. And, like, it's just a drill, right? So they just want to see if they can do it. Maybe there's, like, tension with Russia or something, some adversary.
It could be set during the Cold War.
Yeah, it'd be set during the Cold War. And during the drill, like, one of the guys, or maybe a couple of them, start saying things like, oh, those blips on the radar, maybe it's them again. Maybe it's those things we've been seeing.
Oh, like UFOs.
Yeah. And the government officials that are there are like, wait, what do you mean? What do you mean things you've been seeing? You've been seeing stuff like this? And then they launch an investigation into these incidents that haven't gone reported. And that's kind of the beginning of the idea, is the investigation starting.
And then you could go so many ways, like, because it could be like a government conspiracy. It could be a cover-up. There could not be real, but, like, it's, like, something else the government doesn't want you to know about. They could just be experimenting on these people, like, you know, like, seeing how they respond to this kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, I think the two coolest ways for it to go would be maybe during the drill, actual advanced aircraft activity happens, and it's, like... Everybody thinks it's fake.
Oh, but the officials, they think, are, it's like, oh, they're tricking us. They're like playing with us and seeing what our reaction is. But like, no, it's real.
Yeah, but in reality, no, this is like really happening.
That would be such a good premise for a sci-fi movie, because it's like they're having a drill and like all like the bigwigs are pretending that it's like there's real UFOs. And the grunts are like, half of them are like, it's real. And the other half are like, it's the drill. It's fake. But then like during the drill, like a real alien... comes, and then like the general's like, it's real, shoot it, whatever, and like all like the people on the ground are like, this is fake, this is dumb,
and it would lead to tons of confusion, like, oh, who was telling the truth, was it real, you know,
and like you never know, like you go,
did they know beforehand, did they lie to us?
Oh, the aliens, like you only see them during the first 10 minutes of the movie, and then they're gone for the rest of the movie, and then the whole movie is just about like, was that real or not?
It gets really ugly. There's, like, torture, and they're trying to, like, grill people.
This movie sounds depressing now.
It sounds awesome.
It's, like, it has, like, a courtroom scene where they're, like, debating, you know? It's, like, it has, like, an A Few Good Men thing going on, too.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson is in it. He's, like, the general. Cause,
well, yeah, Robert De Niro, probably.
Tom Cruise.
Who's Tom Cruise?
He's a pilot. I don't know. He's, like, one of the people that sees it. But he's, like, reputation is really good. So when he first sees it, he, like, dismisses it because he doesn't want his reputation to be tarnished.
Right.
But then it starts snowballing, and he feels like he has to do, like, give testimony about it.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? And also, he's like, inspired by how well the aliens fly. He's like, wow, there's something. They really know what they're doing. They really inspire me. He talks about, like, the pilot spirit. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes, the spirit of the sky.
The spirit of the sky is in these aliens.
That's the title of the movie.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, there you go. We come up with, I mean, this would be a perfect, like, 1998 movie. Unfortunately, I don't think this is really something that could happen. I mean, it could still be a movie today, but it wouldn't have Tom Cruise in it. Like, it wouldn't get stars, you know, like that.
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey would have been in it, too. You know?
Yeah, we stopped making serious movies about aliens.
Long time ago. With Contact, really. That was, like, the last one.
Yeah. Jodie Foster.
Can you think of any other serious movies with aliens?
Arrival. That was kind of low-key.
Arrival, Contact, Close Encounters, E.T. is not... I mean, it's not serious, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But then I'm trying to think of other ones.
Starman. Did you ever see that?
No, I didn't. Is it good?
No.
Jeff Bridges is in that, right?
Yeah.
I want to see it.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I love the movie, but it's not good.
See, those are, like, my favorite kinds of movies. The ones that I, like, love and know that they're not good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what it is. Are you ready for your last and final trivia question?
Yes, I am.
All right. This last question is geography. What would you like to use as your lifeline?
Monty Hall.
All right. This is not really geography, but it's the closest category I can find. In North Korea, this instrument was once required for all teachers to learn and be able to play in order to pass their certifications. It was called the People's Instrument. What is the name of this instrument? Is it A, the saxophone, B, the harmonica, C, the accordion, or D, the tuba?
Is this real?
Yeah.
Is this in the United States?
No, this is in North Korea.
Oh, okay.
You're like, oh, that makes a lot more sense. Like,
what the hell?
No, it was once required for every North Korean teacher to learn and play this instrument.
Okay.
It's called the People's Instrument. Saxophone, harmonica, accordion, or tuba?
I might not have to use Monty Hall.
Really? Why do you say that?
I have very strong logic for this one.
Okay, tell me.
So North Korea is really poor.
Okay.
And three of those instruments are really expensive.
Okay, that's fair. I see where you're going with it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's just not very many teachers, because there's also not a lot of people, but...
I mean, it could be that the teachers are part of the government, and they're, like, not paid well, but, like, the government supplies them with this instrument, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they do put weird importance on certain things.
Right, like, completely randomly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Kim decides he really likes, like, ice skating one day, and they spend, like, $1 billion on it.
It's, like, half of North Korea becomes, like, an ice skating rink. And then he has, like, the yearly ice skating thing. I don't know. The people's ice skating rink.
Do you know about that hotel they tried to build that was, like, the biggest hotel in the world? No. And they, like, half finished it, and it's just standing there now.
It hasn't been finished?
No, it's like a giant pyramid.
Was it one of the Kims wanted to do this really bad?
I think so. He was like, we need the biggest hotel ever.
And they're like, okay. And then halfway he was like, yeah, we don't really need it anymore.
He was like, this is way too big.
We're never going to use this.
Who's going to come here?
I mean, there's not really a reason to have the biggest hotel, right? It doesn't make sense from a financial standpoint. Like, it's much better to have a lot of smaller hotels than one really big one. Like, that doesn't make any sense. But they probably just wanted the biggest something.
Yeah.
To compete. But anyway, the People's Instrument.
Okay, I'm going to Monty Hall, and I'm going to lock in tuba, because that just seems ridiculous.
Okay. It's not the saxophone, and it is not the harmonica. It is the accordion or the tuba.
Uh-oh.
Okay. The two most ridiculous of the instruments.
These are... How accordions are, I don't know. A tuba? You can't tuba? He didn't pick a tuba.
I don't know what he picked.
Well, I do know, because I know the answer to the question. But I'm not going to tell you what it was.
The crazy thing is he could have picked a tuba. He's such a weird dude.
Like, it's North Korea. It could totally be the tuba. Like,
his logic would be like, well, it's the biggest brass instrument, so therefore it's the best.
It's the best. I mean, he could do that.
So the accordion or the tuba?
I hope it's the tuba, but I think the accordion's more likely, so I'm going to go with that final answer.
Accordion is correct. Good nice. Job. Good logic. The reasoning behind it was it's like a small piano, so okay. they call it the people's instrument, because like, anyone can play the accordion. Not really, though, because not a lot of people can play piano, but that was their logic when they made it. It's not a thing anymore, but it was in the 90s and the 2000s, so there you go. Now you know cool. more about North Korea than you probably ever needed to know. It's a weird place, man.
There was a really good movie about the North Korean border. It's like one of the best foreign movies I've ever seen.
I think I've seen that, yeah. It was about how crazy their culture and border and stuff is. I think I might have seen that movie.
No, this is like a... It's sort of like fiction, but it could be true. It's about two dudes on opposite sides of the border.
Mm-hmm. North and they like, South Korea.
Yeah, they like play games together and stuff.
Oh, that sounds cool. It's a
super good movie.
Do you remember what it's called? No. If you remember the name,
okay.
let me know. Because that sounds interesting. That sounds like a movie I would want to watch.
Yeah, it's super good.
Anyway, do you want to get into some Reddits before the end of the show?
Sure. Here's a good one. Because I thought the answer to this was really obvious, but maybe it's not. So this was asked by user A Myrmidon. Thank you, A Myrmidon.
Thank you, A Myrmidon.
He asks, do you brush your teeth with hot or cold water?
Oh.
Why? And how do you feel about people who do the opposite?
Ooh, we should say it at the same time.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
3, 2, 1.
Cold.
Oh, the same. We're the same. I do it with cold. I don't really have a strong reason. I guess the reasoning is I don't want to, like, heat my toothbrush up after or before using it. So I just do it with cold, yeah.
I didn't know anyone used hot water to brush their teeth.
I didn't either, yeah. I will do... So what I'll do is afterwards, sometimes I'll turn the hot water on to rinse my brush off.
Oh, yeah.
Because then it's like, I don't know, there's like something in my head that says hot water cleans things better or something. I don't know.
That's true.
So I'll do that sometimes, but I almost always just do.
Yeah. I think hot, too, makes you taste things more. And I don't I don't mind the taste of toothpaste.
Do you think brushing your teeth with hot water sounds different than brushing your teeth with cold water?
Maybe it does.
I don't know. That'd be a good science experiment. It was as a 12-year-old. But how do you feel about people that use hot water? You can't really say.
I mean, I guess maybe for the same reason that you clean your brush with hot water, maybe it's better. But yeah.
Now, when you wash your hands, hot or cold?
Hot, if I can.
If you can stand it.
But I'm not going to sit there and wait for it to get hot.
Yeah. I'll do, like, warm, right? Like, I don't want to burn my hands off. So I'll, like, turn it hot, and then maybe I'll add a little cold in there, you know, to, like, balance it out a little bit. Or, like, turn it only halfway to hot.
Do you know those, if you go into, like, a fancy hotel, and you don't have a choice for how hot or cold your water is, you just put your hands in there, and it's automatically warm?
Yes.
I hate that.
I don't like that either. You can't choose your temperature.
I would rather it just be cold.
Yeah, just let me pick, you know.
Yeah, but fascists.
Yeah. those fascists with their hot water and their automated things. I hate automated bathrooms. We're like going to go off on a tangent if I start talking about this. But like the automated stuff in bathrooms, who designed all this stuff? Like an idiot? Like seriously, who did the person that designed all these automated things ever go into a bathroom in their life? Because it doesn't seem like they did. You know what I mean? Like, do you see what I'm saying though? Like, you go to the automated toilet, and it, like, flushes if you, like, wiggle a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And then when you do stand up, it, like, doesn't flush. And then you have to hit, like, a button on the side. And then with the stupid automated hand washer thing, you have to wave your hand under it, like, 80 times for it to go off. Yeah. You know? And then some of them go off, like, you'll blink near it and it'll, like, turn on. Like, they're really consistent.
You'll start washing your hands, the toilet flushes, the thing next to you starts blowing.
Everything you're like, oh,
I gotta catch it. You put your hands under it, it automatically stops blowing.
Yes, and then you have to, like, start it again, you know, like, kick it. And then the blowers, they're by far the worst of all the things. Because they'll, like, blow and then stop, and then you'll have to, like, go back and forth. And they never get your hands dry all the way. And then you end up, like, with semi-wet hands walking out of the bathroom, like, shaking them off into the sky, you know?
So we have a new building at work that was built, like, in the past few years, and everything in the bathrooms there is automated because it's, like, new technology or whatever.
Yeah.
It is the worst bathroom to go in.
Do you have the Air Blade?
It's not the closed blower. We have an open blower.
Who invented the Air Blade? Like, I don't know how you can invent such a monstrosity. You know what I'm talking about, right?
That's the tube you put your hands in, right?
Yes, it's like this open mouth tube that you feed your hands into, and then once it senses your hands are in there, it blows, like, really fast air at them to dry them. And it does dry them quickly, but the problem is once you move your hands out of them, it's like an operation situation, right? Where you're, like, trying to get your hands out without touching the sides, but inevitably you will touch the sides.
Yeah, they're blowing your hands around. They're going to knock against the sides.
Yeah, and they're basically just blowing all the germs that were on your hands into the compartment that is inside. And then when the next person puts their hands in, they're just blowing the germs that were on your hands onto their hands.
Yeah, and that compounds over the years.
Yeah, and then everyone, like, moves their hands up on the side and gets all the extra germs on the side so that when everyone puts their hands in, they touch the side. It's just a giant germ machine. Do you think anyone actually cleans the inside of a Dyson Airblade? Because I don't think they do.
I don't think they do.
It's like your cell phone. You don't, like, clean it. Like, you know it has a lot of germs on it. You know? It's, like, the same thing. It's like, oh, this thing's used to clean. Like, we're not going to clean it. It's fine. It's that kind of deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have you ever cleaned your cell phone before?
I'll, like, wipe it off with my shirt.
Sure, but have you ever, like, deep cleaned it?
Like, with a brush? No.
Yeah, me neither. But, you know, that's been in the bathroom with me before. Many times.
Oh, yeah.
And... It's kind of disgusting to think about, right?
Yeah.
We're all just sitting there, you know, getting shit particles on our fingers and, like, smearing them on our screens.
We're all just constantly waving around our bathroom toys, like, all over the place in life.
It's kind of gross if you think about it, because, like, you'll use your cell phone in the bathroom, right?
Every single time.
Yeah. And then you'll go out to eat. And then while you're eating, you'll be touching the thing that you just had in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, and it's weird. It's like, oh, I need to wash my hands before the meal. And then you wash your hands. You're like, okay, sit back down to eat. Then you immediately pick up the bathroom toy. And you start playing on it. And then you bring all the germs that you just cleaned off back into your hands.
Yeah. Like, sure, you're washing your hands after you use the restroom. But you're not washing your phone.
No. That's the invention. That's our $1 million idea. That's our $1 billion idea. Remember
how we
said this? We need a $1 billion idea. This is the $1 billion idea. It's the cell phone sanitizer that after you go to the bathroom, I don't know how it works, but here's how I imagine it, okay? You know, like, the Dyson Airblade, like, it's the dumb thing for your hands? Well, there's, like, a case next to it. Like, it's a big box. Okay. And there's a slot on the top. And you... It's going to sound really dumb. You just drop your phone into the slot, and it does something in there, and then it, like, spits it out of, like, the bottom. It's like, those penny things you put in, and then twist the thing, and they, like, make the flattened penny.
Hang on. So, is this a machine in the bathroom?
Yes.
Okay.
It's next to the air blower,
I would imagine. You run your phone through it.
Yeah, you drop your phone and you twist a lever and it goes like, wah!
And something happens while it's going, wah.
And then it spits your phone out. And then your phone is clean, and then you leave.
What do you think? It's a great idea.
Now, I don't know how it would actually work, but that's the design. It's a box with a slot, and you push a button, and then it, wah, and then it spits it out. Yeah.
You could just make it get hot.
In there.
Yeah.
You know what we could do? This is what
like
we do.
Like a car wash.
No, this is what we do. This is what yeah. we do.
What do you do?
We make these things, and they don't do anything. It just makes a noise when you insert it.
And it comes out the back.
Is that the most brilliant idea you've ever heard, or what?
It's the greatest.
And people would buy it because they're like, oh, I'm going to sanitize my cell phone. You know, doesn't do anything.
Just you can make it take a quarter.
It just makes a noise. And they're like, oh, it's done. And maybe it's hot in there. Like, it's blowing hot air. So, like, when it comes out, like, it's a little warm. So you're like, oh,
something happened.
Something happened there. You could mist it with some water or something, too. It's like, yeah. It did something. It sanitized it, you know.
That the noise means it's working is the whole design philosophy of automatic bathrooms.
Right? It's all about the noise.
Like when you put your hands under that Dyson air blower, you're not cleaner.
But it's going, brah, and you're like, oh, it must be doing something. It's the same with the cell phone sanitizer. This is a $1 billion idea, I'm telling you. We can go to Investor today and get this.
This would be in every high-end hotel.
I know. And we could charge like $1,000 for it. Like, it could be ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, it's basically just a hair dryer that you stick your phone in.
But the high-end hotels would pay for it because it's like a luxury, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea. Anyway, who's our sponsor today, Bad Sex?
Our sponsor today is Time Bat Blade Bathroom. Cell phone sanitizers.
The time blade.
The time blade. Yeah, I like it.
Oh, but it doesn't have bat, though.
I don't care. Time the, makes... You don't want to call it the bat blade.
It sounds like a Batman thing. Alfred, get me the bat blade. The time blade sounds really weird. In a good way, though. Mm-hmm. Remember, when you need to sanitize your most important electronical device, choose the time blade. Remember, when you're feeling kind of woozy,
take it to the movie.
Let's go with that one. Thank you, everyone. Have a great night and drive safely. Bye.